we got 20 or 30 minutes into, what was that show, Adam, with Thor? And I forgot to hit record, yeah. And I was like, so what happened was...
It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, Ebro, and with me, as always, to go through Mock Draft 3.0. We are 1 week away, people! It's almost go time! My co-host, Adam Pfeiffer, is in the house. Adam, are you ready for all of this action, man?
Yeah, mock drafts are so fun, obviously. I just did one on Noontime with Ryan Noonan on the FTN YouTube channel, so you can check that out if you want to compare and contrast. But yeah, this is going to be fun, and I will let you know, by the way, you are outnumbered today. Two Bills fans on the pod, so...
I didn't think about this at times. I should have just sat this episode out.
It's on you.
I don't even know what to do and where we go from here, but it's going to get wild. It's going to get crazy. We got Michael Florio in the house. You can follow him on Twitter at Michael F. Florio. Florio, what's going on, man? I mean, you ready for all this trade action to talk some mock today?
I'm pumped to talk this mock draft, but I'm even more pumped to be on the show with a fellow Bills fan. You know, we just got to represent. Gosh. It's been a long time, so let's go Bills.
Oh, 2 seconds in, we're off the rails. We're already in Dayball's backyard.
We're not. You're off the rails.
This is terrible. Like, I don't even understand what I've gotten myself into. I feel like I got suckered. And I got to go back and look at the DMs. Like, did I bring up Florio's name or did Adam? Because I'm really thinking Pfeiffer did this. And it's all been orchestrated from the jump, man.
Hey, it's, you know what, though? Not to go off topic too much, but for the first time ever, it's like a great feeling to be a fan of the teams I like. Like, the Bills are awesome. The Mets are in first place. The Knicks are winning. I'm going to just keep representing these New York sports teams. So I hope we don't talk about the Bills too much. But on the other hand, I kind of hope we do.
Well, we discussed it before we went live here, and we were talking about this is the first mock draft. We're going to talk trades. We're going to get wild with this thing. And then, of course, the Bills fans in the house, decided they want to talk about trading up from 30 all the way to 4.
It was a joke.
I'm sorry, that's not happening.
It was
no!
a joke.
It's not a bad plan, though, for the Bills. Falcons, but...
I mean, bet the farm, give the farm, give all the tables in Buffalo to Atlanta. I mean, maybe. All things can happen, man.
Is there a table shortage in Atlanta? Because the Bills would have plenty of firepower to trade up then, if that's the case. Like, if that's what Atlanta needs.
But look, if there is, Atlanta's got to be on the horn. They got to take the deal, man. Before we get this kicked off, Florio, discuss all the fantastic things that you are up to right now. I mean, everybody and all people obviously know the firework that you do at NFL Network. What do you got in the works right now, my friend?
Well, thank you so much for the kind words. Right now, all I have in the works is a pick for the Bills to move up from 30 to number 4.
Show over.
No, in all seriousness, right now, NFL.com, plus doing work with rotoballer.com, some baseball stuff, a lot of football stuff as well, and you can catch me on SiriusXM with the King, Scott Engel, Saturday mornings and Sunday nights. A lot of baseball stuff, but also a lot of NFL draft talk on those shows.
Dude, it's fantastic. I always love your content. You and I kind of came into the space around the same time. To watch your – I mean, dude, it has been a meteoric rise, and to watch you just shine – has been awesome. So glad to have you in the house to discuss all these picks today, dude.
Thank you so much. And it's awesome because I listen to this podcast a good amount. You guys do a great show. And it's been awesome watching you guys climb up in the industry as well. And now getting to listen to you and the great like prospect breakdowns that you guys have been doing. It's awesome work.
Dude, it's been fun, man. I can't get away from it, man. Adam and I have enjoyed the hell out of discussing all of these prospects. For everybody that has not dove into all those, we've got 25-plus prospect profiles live right now where Adam and I and a bunch, a slew of guests discuss all these players in depth. So you're looking at 20 minutes. Hell, we had Kalachi on the line and we went down to an hour talking about all things Kyle Pitts. So dive into those, check those out. Before we get rolling here, again, we're talking about all these rookies and where they could land. If you want to take advantage of that action and get into the rookie and sophomore drafts, the tourney that's live over on Underdog, gotta head there today. Use the promo code FTN. If you don't like it, they will honor a money-back guarantee in the first month and refund you up to $100. That tournament just went live the other day, and it's already 20% filled. You got to get in on this right now. I did my first drafts the other night, going through all these different stacking options. Oh, it's so much fun! And they go so fast with just four people in the room. So get into that action. Start drafting best ball. Enjoy the hell out of it. And hey, you can just stare at that ROI, that beautiful ROI at the end of the year. All right, guys, look, we've gone off the rails. We're talking about a lot of things up until this point. Let's get this mock draft underway here, man. So with the first pick, I'm not going to go and go off the rails here again. It's Trevor Lawrence to Jacksonville. Your analysis is this is where he's going. This is where he's been going to go. It's a good fit. Hand in glove. So with the second pick, let's start the actual draft here, Florio. Where are you going for the Jets?
So this isn't where I would go, but everything indicates that it is going to be Zach Wilson. So for accuracy's sake, and for me, I think the draft really starts at pick three because I don't know what the Niners are going to do, but everything indicates that the Jets are going to draft Zach Wilson. I would be a proponent for Justin Fields. Like if I was the Jets GM, Fields would be wearing the green and white next year, but I am not the Jets GM, so I will take Zach Wilson there.
That's great news for us Bills fans too, that they're not taking Justin Fields. So I'm
there. We go.
I'm about it.
I mean, look, I think that's where all the betting markets are at right now. That the Jets are going to take Jimmy Clausen's clone, just with a headband. So I think that you're right in that pick, Adam. This is a deciding factor, man. Where are you going with this? I mean,
send tweet,
tell me.
Justin Fields.
Let's go.
Let's go, man. Let's go. You know I'm with
surprised.
You.
I know. Nobody here is surprised. He's the GOAT.
No.
He'll be the second overall pick in the draft. He won't be for whatever reason. He's going to go to San Francisco, win the starting job over Jimmy Garoppolo, and be awesome. So, yeah. And like I said, I'm dead serious when I say this. I am very, very happy that the Jets are not going to take Justin Fields as a Bills fan.
Do we all, like, because I'm very much of the mindset that Mac Jones is a smokescreen and that the 49ers are going to take Justin Fields. Like, are we all in agreement on that? Or do you guys actually think Mac Jones could be the pick?
Smoke show! Dude, this is the craziest time of year, and I feel like this is one of the most elaborate smoke shows we have seen in some time, my friend. I mean, look, the 49ers gave up the farm to go up and get in this spot to pick their quarterback. Plus, somebody needs to sit here and talk to me like I'm five and tell me that, like, they did this pick and they made the move to go up there not knowing who they wanted to draft, not possibly wanting, and I'm with you, I think it's Justin Fields, going with a quarterback that they have coached and tutored and been involved with way back when. If you go look at all the pictures and stories and the poster boy for quarterback collective website, Justin Fields' face is on the homepage. So somebody's going to have to talk to me like I'm five and help me understand how they don't go with Justin Fields.
I mean, I'm of the mindset that Shanahan learned from his dad, right? When he shocked the world and took Jay Cutler and no one expected it. Like, I mean, even though we all can say the top two picks look locked in, with it being Lawrence and Wilson, and number one is obviously locked in, you still hear rumblings that, hey, if the Jets go in another direction, it's going to be Justin Fields. So it makes sense to not project your pick to the world and be like, hey, we're going to take Justin Fields. But I still believe that everything kind of indicates that they will be taking him. And I hate the argument like, oh, Kyle Shanahan's never had a running quarterback. Great. Well, Shanahan's offenses have been awesome, but it's kind of like what the Rams did, right? Like, you can only take that so far. You need to get a quarterback that when they need to improvise, they can. And Justin Fields is that quarterback.
Dude, Justin Fields and Adam and I've had my rants. I've had my days. I'm just going to sum this up before I pick here for the Falcons. with Justin Fields as a franchise-changing player. He's a franchise-changing quarterback. That is what you bet the farm. That is what you give up all these different picks. That is why you move up into the top three. You didn't move up into the top 10. You moved up into the top three to get a franchise-changing passer, and Mac Jones is not that. So, with the Atlanta Falcons pick here at four, I think this is really where the draft starts, honestly. And I think Atlanta could do, we've heard a lot of different things coming out of Falcons camp, and whether, I think it comes down to three different options, and some of this depends on the trades and offers and things of that nature. I think that they are either go with Kyle Pitts, I think that the quarterback could be in play, or they trade back. That's what I think the three options, and I think it's more along the lines of Pitts versus trade back. And that's going to depend on what type of offers they get. I mean, I'll throw this to the collective here, guys. I mean, do y'all have any teams that we're thinking or at least going to trade up here with Atlanta? Because I'll make a move. I'm totally open to that.
I was going to trade up at seven, hopefully, and see if Detroit wanted to move back and not so much up to four with Atlanta. So I'm going to sit tight. But I do think seven is probably becoming more of the logical trade-up spot than four. But Atlanta could get a serious haul, especially if the first three quarterbacks go off the board and another team panics and says, okay, we need to get our quarterback and we need to do it now. But I'm going to sit tight right now.
Yeah, I agree with Adam, because at five and six, I feel very confident that a quarterback will not be drafted there. So I think any team looking at it right now is going to say, unless the Falcons really are taking a quarterback, that would be the only way I think that. Like, if they want Trey Lance and there's another team that really likes Lance, maybe then they move up. But I think I agree. I think seven is really where the trading would start.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and select Kyle Pitts here, take him off the board. The previous mocks we have done, I have shocked poor Adam's heart, and I've taken Penei Sewell off the board. We're going to adjust for some news and kind of what we think the teams could do in this. And Kyle Pitts would be a fantastic fit in Atlanta. I mean, you're looking to surround Matt Ryan with as much weapons as possible, give a possible heir apparent to the god that is Julio Jones. So I still like the pick there. All right, Cincinnati Bengals are at five. All right, Florio, where are you going to go with this pick?
This, to me, is, I think, potentially the most interesting pick in the first 10 picks. Because they could either, do they go with the offensive lineman and protect Joe Burrow, or do they say, you know what, let's just have fun. Let's do what any fantasy player would do, and let's go out and get Ja'Marr Chase, reunite him with Joe Burrow, and just let him run wild. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to protect Joe Burrow here, and I'm also going to protect my own interest, because I have a ton of T. Higgins in my early best ball drafts. So I want T. Higgins to get all the targets there. So we'll go with Penei Sewell there and protect Joe Burrow.
I mean, I love it. You know I'm a T. stan. I've been out in the streets talking about T. Higgins. Is this year's Calvin Ridley, Chris Godwin, whichever name of guy that's going to break out in a massive way that you want to throw behind his name? That's where I'm at with T. Higgins. So like the pick, Florio. Really, really like that. Adam, where are you sitting at for the Dolphins here at six?
Yeah, this is an easy selection. Ja'Marr Chase, I understand they added Will Fuller, but that's a one-year deal. And Ja'Marr Chase can just push Devontae Parker to a lesser role. Preston Williams won't even be much of a factor with Ja'Marr Chase there. I love Ja'Marr Chase. You know, we haven't seen him in 2 years, but when we last saw him, 19 years old in the toughest conference in college football, winning against press coverage against some of the best corners in college football. Just absolute star, the best receiver in this draft class. Miami continues to help Tua, and all of a sudden they have a very formidable passing offense, at least on paper, with Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Parker, Will Fuller, and Mike Gesicki, and the other tight ends that they're going to use. So, yeah, Ja'Marr Chase, six overall to Miami. It should be the Eagles selecting Ja'Marr Chase, but they're stupid and traded back. So,
I mean, look, Eagles are going to eagle, man. So we talked about it. If we're talking about the trading starts,
I'm on the phone.
I'm going to be fielding some offers.
I'm on the phone. Are you picking up the phone? Denver's on the phone right now.
Okay. All right. Well, so you're going to give me the farm. You're going to trade up. So Denver's coming up to seven, and we're going to make this happen, man. So at seven, who you taking?
Going to go Trey Lance, quarterback out of North Dakota State. Denver cannot go into the season with Drew Lock as their only guy. He very well might be better this year if he wins a starting job and has a full season of Cortland Sutton and another season of Jerry Jeudy. But with the way this roster is right now, you have the weapons on offense. You've added pieces to the defense, which was good last year despite missing Von Miller and the secondary was missing so many guys. They addressed the secondary. So I think this is a spot where if they didn't address the secondary, maybe they sit tight and hope a quarterback falls. And if a quarterback isn't there, they go corner. But now that they added, Ronald Darby, Kyle Fuller to the secondary, they brought back Justin Simmons at safety. So they need a quarterback. So I'm going to trade up to 7 to go with Trey Lance. It's interesting, though, because with Carolina sandwiched in between them with Sam Darnold there, maybe they still can get him at 9. But you don't know if Detroit's going to take them because, yes, they have Jared Goff, but they don't have Detroit has so many holes. So, like, they could literally go any single position, and we would all be like, okay, that makes sense. But, yeah, let's trade up and take Trey Lance 7 from 9 to Denver.
I love that fit. Florio, your thoughts on Trey Lance, and now give me your thoughts on the weapons with Denver. Assuming that Trey Lance is the quarterback, he beats out Drew Lock for that starting job. What are your thoughts on all the receiving weapons there?
I think they would still be kind of an unknown because Trey Lance, like, while he pops off the screen when you watch him play, his level of competition wasn't the highest. And a lot of everything that you read about him says, like, if there's any quarterback in this class that needs a year of development in the NFL level, it is Lance. So if he gets thrown in right away, I think the Broncos' weapons upside and, like, their ceiling does become a lot higher because, one, the unknown factor a little bit. Like, we know Drew Lock cannot take this offense to what we want it to be, but Trey Lance might be able to. So I think it would be a big help for all of them in that Denver offense because Drew Lock is just not the answer, but we're still determining if Trey Lance is as well. So I think the ceiling raises, but the floor kind of remains the same.
I like that. I really, really like that take because that's exactly how I view it. I think that there are enough weapons. We've seen Pat Shurmur do some really good things. I mean, Dimes was balling out in his rookie season. We haven't seen that since. So I think it's a really conducive situation. Also, you have some offensive line pieces that are coming back. This is a sneaky good team, man. Like, if Denver wants to make a run, they've got a lot of parts and pieces, and they get any kind of health out of that defense this year, they really could surprise some people. So, stepping out of Mile High Stadium and going over to Carolina with the 8th pick, where are you going, Florio?
This might be a little surprising, I think, to some, because, like you mentioned, the Panthers did just trade for Sam Darnold, but everything they seem to be doing right now is that, like, they know that they need the long-term answer at the quarterback position, and they were quickly willing to move on from Teddy Bridgewater. Sam Darnold, yeah, they didn't give up a whole lot to get him. I understand that a lot of people, especially on fantasy Twitter, are not ready to write off Sam Darnold yet, but I am a believer, and I think the Panthers kind of realized this, that they should be taking as many shots as possible at the quarterback position until something sticks. So I think if Mac Jones is available at 8, I think the Carolina Panthers draft him and they let him and Darnold and hope one of them is the answer.
I don't disagree. I kind of like this, man. Adam, what do you think about this Mac Jones pick?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Because they can get out from Teddy Bridgewater and save some money. So if that's what they want to do, I think Carolina is a team that could also potentially trade back now, or they could just sit tight and take, Rashawn Slater. But yeah, Mac Jones is very interesting. I don't think really anybody's going to have Mac Jones mocked to Carolina now after the Sam Darnold trade. But I still don't think quarterback is like 100% out of the question for the Panthers.
No, I don't think it is either. I mean, whether they were to deal Teddy, get like a middle round pick back in the process, and really, they don't have any allegiances to Sam Darnold long term, So again, we're talking about a team that if you're going to be building, if Sam Darnold, say he plays well, you don't want to sign him to a long term deal. You do still have the ability with a rookie quarterback contract, and they could take advantage of that for Carolina and even pad other spots of this roster. So I like the pick, man. I really do. So, all right. So with the 9th pick for the Lions, look, I know we saw them move back from 7 to 9. I actually could see them move back a little bit farther. The question is, and I got to check my, I'm living in the 90s here. I got to check my answer machine and make sure that I don't have any calls, any kind of call waiting.
Huh? Breaking out the Rolodex?
Any voicemail.
I mean, I'm in Gettleman's HQ right now. He rented it out to me for the week. So I'm making sure that all the parts and pieces are right. I don't see any. There's no numbers flashing on the answer machine. So I'm going to stay here with this pick. They need a wide receiver weapon at this point. I think there's a lot of different players that fit this bill. Whether you want to go Devontae Smith, whether you want to go Jaylen Waddle, both of them make a ton of sense. For this receiving depth chart, at least as of right now, and the archetype of wide receivers, i.e. field stretchers that they are taking, at least that they've added to this roster so far, I'm actually going to go Jaylen Waddle here. And it's not because I don't love Smitty. I'm a massive, massive fan of Slim Reaper. Okay, he is my wide receiver 2 in this class. But considering where I think that Detroit goes with this, I'm going to go Jaylen Waddle. Florio, any thoughts on that pick?
I think it makes sense given the type of receivers, like you said, that the Lions have been bringing in. I mean, I know they haven't brought in anyone with a big name yet, but all the players they have brought in are those downfield, field-stretching type wide receivers. I would be going with Devonta Smith, especially because, I mean, he's just – I'm a big supporter of his, and I think that the weight gets overblown a bit. But Waddle, I mean, Waddle has a ton of upside. The only thing that I would not like about it, because I think whichever wide receiver they take here can easily step into 100 targets as a rookie because there's just not a lot of comp there. But it's Jared Goff throwing him the ball, and I wouldn't love Jared Goff to get the most out of Jaylen Waddle.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Jaylen Waddle, I think, would fit there with Goff. And I think Goff, you're really looking at, like, we don't want anybody that has more of contested catch ability. Like, so would Jamar Chase, like, oof, that would be terrible for him. But I think whether we wanted to go Devonta Smith or Jaylen Waddle, both of them make a ton of sense here. All right, Adam, with the 10th pick for the Cowboys, I know, I mean, come on. Are we just going to go corner again? Is that what we're going with this pick?
I mean, this is literally the consensus selection in every mock draft. It's not only Dallas going corner at 10, but it's Dallas going Patrick Surtain at 10. And I think if Rashawn Slater's still there, Dallas goes, you know, it's like a half second less or longer they decide, but they're still going to go Patrick Surtain, I think. You know, really, really good measurables, was obviously very good at Alabama, played with Trayvon Diggs at Alabama, so he'll have that connection right away, and it's a massive need for Dallas. So I'm not going to shock the world. I'm not going to be exciting or different. I'm going to go Patrick Surtain 10th to Dallas.
All right. I mean, I like it. I think that they're going to go corner. It's just a matter of who they take at that point, who's the top guy on their board. All right, Florio, so now you're on the clock. I mean, you talked about all the New York love. Who are you going to take for Senior Gettleman at this pick for 11 for the Giants?
So, yeah, I'm from New York City, and I have a ton of Giants friends, and they are hoping for Devontae Smith or Micah Parsons a lot. I think more rooting for Smith because he's just more fun, you know, like, everyone loves an offensive player, especially one as dynamic as Smith. But much to the disappointment of my Giants friends, I'm going to trade down. No, I'm just kidding. It's Dave Gettleman. He's allergic to trading down. So I'm going to take Rashawn Slater, tackle there. I think you need to get protection for Daniel Jones. And everything is really riding now on Daniel Jones. He has the weapons around him. I think they need to do everything they can to put him in a place to succeed. And I think a pick like that only helps.
Trade down is not in the Rolodex for Mr. Gettleman, so I think you made the correct move there, sir. For Philly, look, I understand that Joe Flacco is the answer, and we got to surround him with a ton of weapons here. I mean, look, I get it. He won rock, paper, scissor. The man is undefeated, so I understand we need to give him weapons here. I think that the where Philly could go with this pick, there's a lot of different avenues, man. I think whether they wanted to address wide receiver, whether they wanted to go corner, because J.C. Horn is staring them in the face. I really think that if they're honestly going to give Jalen Hurts a real shot after all the jokes that I made about frickin' Flacco, I think that Devonta Smith makes a lot of sense here. I think that building up this skill position set around him, one corner in the room is not going to transform that defense. But if you're trying to figure out, is this quarterback possibly the future for this franchise, adding another wide receiver to the room and a guy of the talent level of Devonta Smith is exactly where I think Philly could go here. Florio, your thoughts here.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Devonta Smith. I think that too many people see his frame and his weight, and they go quick to, oh, he can never succeed at that weight in the NFL. And then on the other side, you know, people are always like, oh, well, the comparisons are Hall of Fame-type wide receivers. I'm just like, I get it. That's a really, really high trajectory to put him on. But Devonta Smith, his entire life has been on a Hall of Fame trajectory, it seems. So I like the pick. I think they need to give a lot of weapons for Jalen Hurts. You have like a field stretch already in Jalen Reagor. So I think they need that possession guy, someone who could just bring a little bit of everything. And I think that Devonta Smith can come in and be their number one weapon in the passing game right away.
Yeah, I think that he makes a ton of sense. And if you're looking at the weapons around him, I just think that for Philly being a team, and I think it's also possible Philly could trade back. They could easily move back and acquire some more equity. Adam, for the Chargers, where are you going at lucky pick 13?
Yeah, this is another easy selection for me. The Chargers continue to have addressed the offensive line in the past two off seasons, especially this off season. They need a corner, and J.C. Horn is a ridiculous press man coverage corner. He's very physical. He's very good. Their corners right now are not great on paper. It's Michael Davis, you know, Tavon Campbell, and they still have Chris Harris Jr. in the slot, who's not getting any younger. So you bring in a really physical press man coverage in J.C. Horn. They're going to get Derwin James back, hopefully, for next season, because the NFL needs a full season of Derwin James. And all of a sudden, you still have the pass rush with Joey Bosa and company. And all of a sudden, like, this team on paper, we say it every year, but like, they have a lot of talent and a lot of ability. And I think J.C. Horn at 13 only helps that.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that they address the defense with this first round. So, I mean, look, we're staring at the Vikings right now. Again, I think the Vikings could be a team to trade back. But considering what's on the board here, where do you see them going, Florio? Do you think they go offensive line? Do you think they go defense here?
So I was debating between going a lineman or like an edge rusher, but I keep their offense right now. I mean, they have so much talent on it with Dalvin Cook and Thielen and Justin Jefferson. And you need to be able just to keep Kirk Cousins upright and to be able to get those guys the ball. So I think they're going to go offensive lineman. And I'm going to take Christian Darrisaw of Virginia Tech. He was rated the highest, by PFF at least, the highest offensive tackle in the power in any five of the Power 5 conferences in 2020. So I think, you know, you get a big body like that to help only, you know, protect Kirk Cousins so we can get the ball to their weapons. You help open things up a little bit for Dalvin Cook. I think that's what this offense is missing. So I do think they are a candidate to trade down, but if not, I think they look to shore up that offensive line.
Yeah, I like that pick a whole lot. I think it's offensive line. I think they're a big candidate to trade down, especially we're talking about how deep this offensive line class is. So with the Patriots now at 15, we didn't have them moving up for a quarterback. There's not a whole lot of wide receivers on the board that I think that they're probably going to be staring at for 15. I think this is just going to be an unsexy type of Bill Belichick pick. With this defense, they have so many players that are coming back after opting out and where they could go with this pick. If one of these top corners is on the board, I just don't see one of the guys that's going to possibly be there. I mean, jeez. Adam, am I crazy? Like, could you see Caleb Farrelly possibly, even with the health concerns, possibly jump up here to 15? I don't see him going this early.
I don't, and I do, because I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I'm at 16 right behind you with the Cardinals, and they need cornerback help more than pretty much any team in the NFL right now. And I think if he's there, I saw some rumors that the Cardinals are looking to maybe even trade up for a receiver like a Jalen Waddle, which would be just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But like, if they sit tight at 16, they might be in position to say, okay, look, corners are our most important need right now. And if Caleb Farley's good to go and the back is fine and he's healthy, he has the chance to be the best corner in this draft class. So it really depends on Belichick, obviously. like, does Micah Parsons come off the board here? He's had some, you know, off the field stuff that might have him falling in the draft. So it's tougher. This is why I think New England's going to trade up ultimately, because like if they're sitting here at 15 and these guys are all on the board, like, I don't know what they do.
Agreed. I think New England, they easily could be a candidate to trade up. The other thing about it is I think they could be a candidate to trade back. If they're sitting in this kind of no man's land and they got a bunch of guys on their board and they're like, okay, this is we view a lot of people in this range of the draft in the first round, they're on the same level for us. So if we get one of these guys out of this tier for us on their board, like, I think New England can easily trade back. I think it really just comes down to like how much they're going to have to fork over to go up versus how much are they going to get back in a trade to fall back in the draft. For them right now, and again, I'm checking my answer machine. I don't see any numbers lighting up right now. So I'm going to stay here with this pick. I think that Bill Belichick, the culture is set in New England. I think they're going to stop the fall here and go with a talented player. I think they're going to, we're just going to go with Micah Parsons here to New England. I think that, again, we talk about, and we discussed this, go back and check out the episode that we did with Elliot Crist, about teams leaning into what is already going to be a strength for the team. Like, the New England defense we know is going to be solid. But if they consider and accentuate that more, and they're not getting offers that they like, or the price is too high to move up, I think they could just stay here and take the best player available. And right now, with the way that the board sits, I think that that's Micah Parsons. Any kind of pushback on that, Adam, before you kind of make this pick for the Cardinals at 16?
No, not really. Like I said, like I think...
When you're licking your chops, Fairley's on the board for you.
Yeah, I'm still hesitating a little bit, though, because there are those concerns with the back, especially for corner. Like that's a scary injury, and the medicals will see if he's good to go. And, like, I still think he could go at this point. And, like I said, they need a corner so bad. It's between him and Christian Barmore. They also could use a little bit more interior defensive line help. They have the edges with Chandler Jones and now J.J. Watt. You know, let's have fun. I will go Caleb Farley here. I just think corner is such a huge need for this team that they can feel a little bit more willing to take the potential risk with Caleb Farley. So I will go Caleb Farley here at 16. It might be a little bit early, but this is also a guy that if he's healthy, he like if Caleb Farley prior to the back stuff that came up in mock drafts, he was going, you know, in between 8 and 10 in most mocks. So obviously the back changes things, but if he's good to go, he's more than talented enough to be selected before this spot.
And I am so glad that this unfolded the way it is, that I don't have to make this selection here for the Raiders, that Florio gets the lovely ability to sit here and make this pick. Because, God help me, I have no clue what the heck Las Vegas is going to do in this spot. So, Florio, do you have any leans?
No, I was all set to take Micah Parsons with them, and then U.S. the Patriots took him. So the while Adam was talking there, I was just scrolling through the names. Like, I am not sure who I would take as the Raiders here, because there's like Peter Schrager in his latest mock said that he thinks their first round pick will be spent on either offensive lineman or getting, you know, a pass rusher. This is the first pick of this draft where I'm not entirely sure at all which way this pick is going to go.
Well, you're going to invest so much in a running back. I mean, you're signing Kenyon Drake. You got to give him blocking help.
Kenyon,
right?
Drake's a receiver, apparently.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. My bad. We better read distribution.
He's a slot receiver. Yeah.
Never mind. Yeah. So we don't need blocking help. He's going to be rolling out of the slot. So, excuse me. My fault.
I do think they're going to go with an offense. Like, that's the way if Parsons doesn't fall, because you were talking about off-the-field issues. If there's one team that does not care about off-the-field issues, we know that it is the Raiders. So I think he is the pick.
They apparently don't care about on-the-field issues either.
They don't care about anything as long as you get pumped up when John Gruden is screaming. That's really about it, I think.
I apologize for all Raiders fans listening to this. Adam just absolutely dropped the mic. All right, Florio, come on. We got to get past the Raiders here. Who are you going with, man?
I mean, I'll go with AVT, Vera Tucker, the tackle out of USC. Right. He's had the, according to PFF, he's had the highest pass blocking grade the last two seasons. So I think you get, you know, that protection for Carr there. And I say that, though, with the least confidence of any of the picks I've made so far.
All right, so with the Dolphins sitting here at pick 18, I'm going to – it's either one of two places. And I think I was actually leaning Vera Tucker here for them, still addressing, because we've seen them do that. They spent their first two picks last year on the offensive line. I think they could do that yet again, get some guard help, because I think Vera Tucker could slide inside at the next level. But with him now off the board – I'm going to go with edge here, or, well, I'm not edge. I'm going to go with pressure, so to speak. I'm actually, and he's a little bit down here. I could go with Owusu-Koromoa, could go Kwity Paye. You know what? I'm actually going to lean into one of your loves here, Adam. I'm going to go upside here. I'm going to go Jason Oway here. I'm going to shake this up, dude.
That's interesting with Jalen Phillips on the board, because Jalen Phillips is like...
I thought about Jalen Phillips. I really, really did. But
this is a popular pick, too, because he played at Miami. The Dolphins could use another edge rusher. He's had the concussion issues, which is obviously scary. But it sounds like Jalen Phillips is going to go inside the top 15 at this point now. So, like, it's interesting. I don't think Jason Oway is going to go in front of him, but I love Jason Oway, so I really don't hate the pick at all.
I did a fan mock draft where like they got like fantasy people and whoever you're a fan of, you make that pick. And Owe was my pick for the Bills at 30. I was just pumped that he fell
so much. If he's there,
I think that his ceiling is just as high as Phillips. Now you're right. Phillips has been getting a lot of steam. I think he could easily go here for the purposes of this mock. And I want to shake things up here because I think that, yes, the betting markets are saying that Phillips is going to go early. I don't think that that is wrong, but I think Owe has a ridiculous ceiling. I know you love him a ton, Adam.
Yeah, he's an absolute beast. Like, his pro day was ridiculous. And, like, yes, he didn't have the production in terms of sacks and stuff like that, but, like, you don't – same with free agency. Like, you don't target players and pass rushers strictly off sack numbers. It's all about pressures and how you affect the game, and the sacks are going to come with Jason Oway. I can guarantee that. So I love him.
Yeah, I absolutely love him, man. So speaking about defensive picks and where can Washington go with this one – where are you leaning, man? Like, I know Schrager just gave them Travis Etienne at 19 in his last mock. I don't see that happening. But yeah, where do you
there's
sit?
There's a steam really heating up with Washington running back, and I just don't get it. I don't see it. I could be wrong, but it just doesn't seem like this is a team that they're like, obviously the quarterback's a hole. They're not going to draft any quarterback in this spot. They could use another linebacker, which is why JOK is kind of interesting here. And then there was also reports that they were trying to, at least considering trading up for Trey Lance. I don't think that's going to happen. So I'm stuck between, like, there's some good players on the board here. I don't think they're going to go receiver either. So I'm just kind of going to, I'm going to go with Jeremiah Owusu-Koromoa here. I don't think he's going to go this high necessarily, but he can play that linebacker safety hybrid. They could use more linebacker help. The secondary was better last year, and then they added, obviously, William Jackson, so that's going to help even more. We already know the defensive line is one of the best units in the NFL.
And I was wondering if you were going to double down and go with Barmore in that aspect.
I was thinking about it, but I think JOK, with his upside as a linebacker and ability to cover, gives them is a little bit more of a need for them than an interior defensive tackle. And I could be wrong, but... That was the toughest pick I've made yet so far.
Yeah, I mean, I really think there's a lot of different ways that they could go. So now with the Bears on the clock at 20, where are you feeling, Florio? I mean, I don't know what they do with this pick. They're another weird team. Like, could they bet the farm and try to get up if Mac Jones were to slide? Could they trade back? Could they go with offensive line? You got any good leans here? Any feelings about what the Bears do?
Yeah, so the Bears, I think, are in one of the more interesting spots. Because like you said, if a quarterback starts to slide, I think they are a prime team because we all know Andy Dalton is not their answer there. I think they're a prime team to try to trade up and grab one of those if one of the five falls. But if none of them do, and I don't anticipate them falling too far, the Bears could very much so be a candidate to trade down and try to get as many picks as possible. But I don't believe my answering machine is going off. I don't have any messages for any trades. So with the 20th pick, I think the Bears will adjust their offense. I think they're going to take Rashad Bateman because like they love Darnell Mooney, but Anthony Miller is, I hate to say it, a failed prospect so far, and he hasn't really lived up to expectations. And with Allen Robinson being on the franchise tag, I think he's gone after this season. I mean, not only did he not say nice thing, like have not a whole lot of nice things to say about the organization, he straight up said he doesn't like the city of Chicago. So to me, I think he is gone. And I think the Bears know that, hey, after this year, like we need to have options in place. So I think they grab Bateman and maybe potentially like let him kind of ease into things early on in 2021 with an eye on him just being, you know, one of their top options in 2022.
Well, I know Adam sitting at pick 22 is really, really reeling after that because I know where he was hoping.
I was definitely going to go there, but I've mocked Bateman there many times, so I'm excited to try something different. By the way, Bateman, my comp for him was Allen Robinson, so it's very
there you go.
It's very fitting.
Love Bateman. I mean, we're all Bateman stands here. My comp for him was Adam Thielen. I absolutely love some Rashad Bateman. Been talking about it, that I think that he should have been rumored as a top 20 pick from the Hilt. The guy is that talented. So with the Colts now on the clock at pick 21, I think that they stopped the fall here. We talked about it earlier. I think we're going to go Jalen Phillips here. Yeah. I think we're going to give him edge, give them pressure. I could have gone Barmore, allow them to address the interior, but I think it's edge, man. They struggled at times with pressure. I think that they're also a candidate. I could see the Colts possibly trading up for a corner in this draft. If one of those other guys like Kevin Farrelly like falls at all. I think that that's a possibility and the Colts could make that move. But considering where they're at right now, I'm going to go Jalen Phillips here.
Yeah, I love that pick. So I'm on the clock at 22 with the Titans. A very popular spot where I've mocked Rashad Bateman. I think they could still go with Elijah Moore or a Terrace Marshall or one of these receivers, but they can get a receiver in the second round or whatever. They need a corner, and they lost to Adoree Jackson, who didn't play much last year, but was okay when he did play down the stretch. And then they lost him obviously to the Giants. Like, their secondary is bad. They need a corner, so I'm going to give them Greg Newsom from Northwestern at 22 overall. Fills a need. They still have other positions that they can fill, but they'll do that in the second and third and fourth round. They can draft receiver. They can draft tight end. They addressed the edge a little bit with Bud Dupree and company in free agency. So let's give them a corner. Let's give them Greg Newsom.
Yeah, I like that. And depending on what they want to do as far as like defensive scheme, I know Newsom played a lot of zone in college. Mm-hmm. I think that he does definitely fit a need here. Florio, for the Fantastic Jets, where are you going at 23?
So to me, this is one of the more interesting picks when you get into like the second half of the first round, because the Jets have a lot of needs, and offensive line is one of them. But I'm going to be a little bit fun here, and I am going to pivot. And as much as they can use the offensive lineman, it's a pretty deep class. I think they could get, you know, a guard in the second round with that early second round pick. Mm-hmm. And we've heard smokescreens that they may go with a running back. So I'm actually going to take Najee Harris here and say that they just try to give Wilson as many, you know, weapons around him as possible.
I don't hate that. I mean, I love Najee. Adam, your thoughts on that pick?
Yeah, the Steelers right before them, interesting too, because there's been a lot of talk heating up about the Steelers wanting to draft Najee Harris. So I wonder how they're feeling right now. But yeah, the Jets are kind of similar to the Lions, where it's like you can draft mostly any position, and I would say that's fine. Running back, is that going to change their team? Maybe it'll make their offense more dynamic. I love Najee Harris, though. He's an incredible runner, but he's also ridiculous as a receiver. Doesn't just catch dump offs and screens, but he actually runs legitimate routes deep down the field. Has a really good catch radius for a running back. So I don't hate the pick. I Najee Harris is absolutely awesome.
I do think this is a big pick to grade like the Jets' new regime on, because in years past the Jets have been about like the splashy picks, and that would be a splashy pick that, you know, fans would I think feel pretty good about, because Harris is someone that you can easily in year one see the impact he would make on the field. It's a lot easier than, say, if you took an offensive lineman. But are they going to change things up and, you know, build from like the inside out? And that is something that I'm going to be keeping a close eye on with the Jets.
Yeah, the Jets are really interesting. I think that they're also a candidate to possibly move up. Like, if one of the corners fall, I think Saleh could get the itchy trigger button and decide to move up, too. They're also a team that I think that could take value and move back in the draft. We have heard a lot of smoke talking about Pittsburgh taking a running back. And right here, I think that they would be clamoring. They would be sprinting to the podium. I really think that it's all smoke. I don't think that they're going to take a running back in the first round. I think that they're going to address their offensive line because, oh, Lord, if anybody and everybody watched Pittsburgh's offensive line, it was total doo-doo butter last year. And if they want to have any chance at running the ball, I'm going to give him Tevin Jenkins here. He's one of the best run blockers in this class. I think that he would be a really good start to changing up this offensive line and giving them at least a chance. If they go running back in the second round, this would give them a good chance to even have some semblance of a run game here. Adam, what do you think there?
Yep. It makes a ton of sense. I was mocking Tevin Jenkins to the Steelers a lot prior to this kind of Najee Harris hype a little bit. So, yeah, like if they don't go Najee Harris with this 24th pick, assuming he's there, or Travis Etienne or whoever, they are assuredly going offensive line. They just have to. They have to get some sort of semblance of a running game.
Have to. And we're talking about offensive line. Where do you sit with pick 25 for Jacksonville? You going to give some protection to Trevor Lawrence? Where are you going to go?
So part of me really wants to trade back. There's a team that selects 30th overall that could use an edge rusher.
Oh, Lord.
There's an edge rusher that's still there, so that's interesting. But I'm not
going to. Are you doing it?
No, I'm not.
You're not going to do it? Okay.
No. I've been called a homer enough. I will stay at 25 for Jacksonville. And by the way, the move would have been Buffalo trading up to get Quiddy Pay. But I'm going to go 25th overall, Jacksonville. Trayvon Moehrig, the safety out of TCU. They need more help on the back end. I think they can still get more help for Trevor Lawrence in the later round, starting right away with the second or the first pick in the second round, where I think they're ultimately going to take, and I've talked about this many times, Pat Freiermuth from Penn State. So Trayvon Moehrig helped the back end of that defense, which, you know, should take a step forward. CJ Henderson was a little bit up and down as a rookie, but all these rookie cornerbacks last year, it was a tough spot for them. So I expect more consistent play from him, and I think Trayvon Moehrig, clearly the best safety in this draft class.
Yeah, I like the pick there. I think it's offensive line. I like the safety pick. I think that makes a lot of sense, too. Floria, Cleveland's in a really good spot here. We're staring at a guy falling down the board here that could address some of their needs, some of their wants, as well as BPA. Are you going to go Christian Barmore here at 26, or are you going another direction?
So I was really debating between Barmore and I'll just say the other player, I guess, because there's no one we're not actually drafting here. Quiddy Pay, because I've been going back and forth on those two. For the Browns, I think it is a lock that the Browns take a defensive player with this pick. I mean, for the last few years, they've been investing a whole lot into their offense, and they don't, in my opinion, don't have a whole lot of needs there. But their defense, they have some playmakers, but we saw last season their defense really got exposed. You know what? I'll go with Barmore. I'm gonna make that the pick for the Browns, give them what they need, give them probably what their fans want, and let's see. That team, I think, could really be building something special. They just need to figure out the defensive side of the ball.
Agreed. And for everybody that talks about them bringing in Clowney, that is more to shore up the run defense than it is the pass rush.
Clowney is so not as good as people think. It's ridiculous.
No, he's not, dude. He's better in the run defense department. I think that is really the move that they made for that. And signing him off the free agent market and really addressing. I mean, look, Cleveland was good against the run last year, and I think
the
doubling
John Johnson
down on
signing was way more important than the Jadeveon Clowney's. Like, John Johnson signing was maybe my favorite signing of the entire offseason. Like, that was such a
huge
signing.
I like it, man. Between that and they brought in Troy Hill, they have a lot of other secondary pieces.
They're
going to
get
Greedy
Williams
Delpit,
hopefully healthy for the whole year. Delpit will be back. He didn't play at all last year, and Denzel Ward, when healthy, is probably like a top, 12 to 15 corner, so.
This defense could take a massive, massive step forward and be one of the best in the league this year. I will not be surprised at all.
Dude, this is really off topic real quick, but like, you know, I'm not huge on strength of schedule and schedule stuff like that, but Joe Mixon's going to face three really tough run defenses twice a year.
It's going to be rough, man, because look, he's going to go up against Pittsburgh. I mean, really, like, the entire division is tough.
Right.
So staying in the division with Baltimore at 27, I know that people are going to hate this towards the end of the first round. I think that for as bad as they need wide receiver, I think that this is a team that's just going to, again, double down on strengths. I'm going to give them Quiddy Pay here. And I know a lot of people are expecting, why didn't you take Terrace Marshall? You love him so much. I really think that they could just lean into going edge here and address the wide receiver room later in the draft. Or heck, I mean, I don't think it's crazy that they don't address it with a high pick at all. As insane as that sounds, but we've seen teams do it before. I really think that they go edge here. Tell me how I'm wrong here, Adam.
No, I don't think you are. Like, they lost Matt Judon. The edge has been a little bit of a concern the last couple years anyway. And Quiddy Pay is really talented, obviously. Like, there's a better than not chance he's not even here at 27 in the actual NFL draft. So the pick makes a ton of sense. And yeah, I think Terrace Marshall would be the more exciting pick. But, with the way their offense operates, like, Baltimore might not value a receiver in the first round.
Yep, absolutely, man. So staring at – you got my Saints at 28. Where are you going with them?
Yeah, Merry Christmas, pal.
Merry Christmas. Are you doing it? Are you going to do it?
Yeah, I'm doing it. Terrace Marshall. Off the board at pick.
Yes!
At pick 28.
We've had a bunch of Bills homerisms. I'm going to lean into it. Woo, let's go!
Yeah, I had to do it. I just look, they haven't, like, this offense is still going to be, focused around Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara in the passing game, but Emmanuel Sanders is gone. He was actually good when Michael Thomas was out last year, and then they have Traquan Smith, who really isn't somebody you want as your number two receiver, and then Deontay Harris is a gadget player. So you get Terrace Marshall, who can play outside, can play in the slot, which will be perfect with Michael Thomas, who plays a little bit of both, primarily in the slot, though. And then I just think they need another guy that can really take some pressure off Kamara and Michael Thomas and Terrace Marshall. I think you can make the case that with Sean Payton, like, Rondale Moore might be a better fit because he's very similar to Brandon Cooks, in my opinion. But I think Terrace Marshall at this point is a better prospect, so I'll go with him at 28 overall.
Well, and I think that if you're looking at how he could fit in, I mean, I've talked about it. I think Marshall's upside is a high-volume wide receiver one. Michael Thomas is not getting any younger. If they wanted to possibly try to move on for him regarding how his contract is structured, I think it's a possibility here. Your thoughts on the Marshall pick here? Get out of my homerisms for a little bit here, Florio, and then tell us where you're going for Green Bay.
Well, I think I could kind of summarize it all by saying Terrace Marshall was going to be my pick with Green Bay if he was still there. So I really like that pick. I think that I would love more, I think, with Jameis Winston as the quarterback there because, I mean, he would just lob it up there and let Marshall go and get it. Whereas Taysom Hill, I don't know if he's necessarily going to be that style of passer, but I like the pick a lot. I think he has a lot of upside there. And now I get to pick with the Packers, which, Adam, you know what that means, right? There was a 66% chance that a Bills fan would be drafting for the Bills, but yet it will not happen.
Yeah. All I know is D'Bro better make the right selection at 30.
I can't wait to see who. Kyle Trask, number 30 overall. Let's go.
Oh, I'm getting somebody outside the top 50, baby. It's time for we're gonna go Pat Freiermuth season. We're gonna
go.
Actually,
wouldn't be that mad about that, but still.
We're going to go Creed Humphrey here in the first round. Maybe Trask. I mean, they need a competent backup. Why not? I know Travis. You'd also love Travis Etienne in the first round. I know, Adam. Get that running back action for the Bills.
Anyway, Florio, where are you going with Green Bay at 29?
So I'm going to right their wrong from last year where we all thought they were going to take a wide receiver and they ended up, taking a quarterback and a running back before that. And I was going to take Marshall, but I will then go, Peter Schrager has them taking Elijah Moore at 29 overall. And I'm just going to stick with that pick. I think Elijah Moore could slide into the slot for them initially, but I do think he has the size where they could kind of move him out wide as well. And we know that they desperately need wide receiver help. I mean, Devontae Adams is a beast, but get the guy a little bit of help, get Aaron Rodgers some help there as well. So I do think they address the wide receiver position with this pick, and I'll take Elijah Moore.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's a good pick. I think Green Bay needs weapons. We've talked about this ad nauseum about like them needing receiving weapons. With the speed that Elijah Moore presents, I like the pick there. I mean, giving Aaron Rodgers some more weapons is never a bad thing. So, with the Buffalo Bills on the clock right now, I gotta go to the Rolodex. Let me see.
Dude, somebody's on the phone. Trey White's on the phone. He wants help at corner. He wants help across from him. He does.
Well, I will answer his call on the hotline. Now, who does Mr. Trey White, who would he like here at 30 for the cornerback? I mean, really, do you think Asante Samuel is worth going in the first round?
He's starting to rise into that late first round, and it's these last three teams we just talked about. It's Green Bay, New Orleans, mm-hmm. and Buffalo. So I do think at this point, yeah, it's a possibility. But there's also a solid edge rusher there that – I mean, Jerry Hughes is not getting any younger. They need somebody opposite him as well. So there's some options there. I'm not gonna make the selection for you. I'm gonna see where you go here.
He's trying to will you to one of those picks, though.
I mean, I was gonna go Travis Etienne. Really, absolutely just not. Set this entire mock on fire, but I won't do it to you. I'll stick with Azeez Ojulari. I'll give you the edge. I'll give you the pressure that you so desire, my friend. Now we're going to lean into the Buffalo homerdom. Is that the guy that you'd like there, Adam? And then I want to hear from Florio. If it's not Ojulari, who is it?
Yeah, it was either him or Asante Samuel Jr., or it was somehow Jason Oweh falls and goes there. But yeah, then at that point, and I talked about it with Noonan, like a couple months ago prior to free agency, Buffalo, they could have gone a bunch of different directions, but they brought everybody back, right? Matt Milano's back, Darrell Williams is back. So linebacker was a really popular spot for them in the mock drafts, but now it's not. It's going to be, in my opinion, either edge or corner, or if they, there's some smoke to like a Zach Ertz trade where they trade their 30th overall pick or something, but like I don't know how that happens when Buffalo wasn't apparently willing to give the Eagles a third round pick for him a couple months ago. So why would they all of a sudden trade their 30th overall selection for him? I don't know. But yeah, Azeez Ojulari I'm perfectly fine with. I actually mocked him to the Bills at 30 with Noonan on the live stream the other night. So
okay, all right. Well, I'm glad I have appeased half of the homerdom here for Buffalo. Florio, your thoughts on Ojulari? And I mean, don't hate me too much with that pick.
No, I like the pick because I agree with what Adam said. I want a corner or an edge rusher, and I actually would prefer like an edge, because last season, I think the Bills secondary for so much of the year kind of hid the blemish that was that the Bills really were not getting much pressure on opposing quarterbacks. And it you were able to mask it up until the AFC Championship game, and Patrick Mahomes just completely exploited that defense. And Adam, this is going to be wild to say, but if I'm sitting here as the Bills this year in 2021, it is Super Bowl or bust. Like that's how I'm like, I think they should be addressing this season, because you only have so many years you could go in before you have to start paying everyone, and we're already seeing that happen. So I think right now your goal should be doing everything possible to beat the Chiefs, and adding either a corner or an edge is obviously what they need to do so. So I really like that pick. And if they go running back, I think it would be Javonte Williams, but I think there's a 0% chance that they actually go running back.
I will punch a hole in my wall if they draft a running back.
They love those missed tackles, though.
Dude, people love to just like hate on Singletary like he's terrible, but like at the end of the day, like, okay,
he's fine for what they need.
That's
man.
What I'm saying. They're not going to give, even if they draft Travis Etienne or Javonte Williams or whoever, they're not going to give them 18 touches a game. They're going to throw. I've talked about Brian Daboll a million times. It was like, you remember this, Floyd. It was a Seattle game where Pete Carroll literally was surprised that they didn't run the ball, and Brian Daboll was like, yeah, we don't really care about being balanced. If we see an area we can attack, we're going to keep doing it. Like, that's the strength of the Bills' offense. So, like, I don't understand why a lot of people are mocking running back to the Bills just to have them get six touches a game with Singletary and Moss in a pass-heavy offense. So, if they draft a running back, I'm done.
And not to make this all about the Bills, but to that point, like,
we're already there, Florio. We've been there since the start of the show.
We've been there.
It's a little bit late for that.
Since I joined FTN, this was about the Bills.
I mean, against the Ravens last year, they rushed one time in the first half, and it was a Josh Allen run. And Josh Allen might be your best scramble. Like, when he scrambles, he might be your best pure runner. So, yeah, keep the ball in his hands as much as possible. And for fantasy, keep the ball in Josh Allen's hands as much as possible.
So to keep the ball in somebody's hands and they don't end up a greasy spot on the pavement again versus pass rushes, come on, Adam, where are you going here for the Kansas City Chiefs at 31? I mean, we don't want to see Patrick Mahomes get destroyed again. Please give him some help.
Yeah, I mean, there is a very, 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 very large part of me that would just love to see Kadarius Toney or Rondell Moore in this offense, but you have to go tackle.
Don't do that. No, don't do that to that man.
You have to go tackle here after what we saw in the Super Bowl. They obviously addressed the line a little bit with Joe Tooney, but he's a guard. Go tackle here. You got a couple. I'm debating between Sam Cosmi and Walker Little, but I'm going to go Walker Little here, tackle out of Stanford at 31. And I don't envy Florio because choosing 32nd for Tampa Bay is very difficult because they just brought every single player in the history of the world back this offseason. So have fun.
Yeah, that's the one pick out of this entire first round where I'm like, I mean, outside of like the Raiders, where the heck do the Buccaneers go? I mean, Florio, I know you're saddled with this pick, man. Like, I see a lot of different ways they could possibly go. I mean, hell, I think it's even possible they trade back. I don't think that that's crazy unless they want to lean into getting that type of option with the rookie that they would select here. I think that's possible too, but where are you going here?
I do just want to say, though, that I love that PFF's biggest need for them is quarterback, because that is just an ultimate troll job. Tom Brady supporters, the other day on Twitter, I said, oh, he's 44 years old. Like, you know, there's risk with that. And people were like, there's risk with anyone but Tom Brady. And I was like, all right, like, we're going to just keep doing this every single year, I guess. They clearly, I don't think, have any needs on offense. Like, they have so, because I expect them to re-sign Antonio Brown. And even
if
they don't.
Are you sure they're not going to draft a running back? Are you sure?
To go with the five running back
to go
attack?
With Giovanni Bernard, Keyshawn Vaughn, Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette. I think Warwick Dunn's back this year. Mike Allstott's going to be there this year, too.
Allstott's playing H-back / tight end. We're running it back, baby. We're running it back.
Williams
old school.
Will be back. It's going to be sick.
This Let's might go. Be the most talented offense ever that I want no part of for fantasy, because there's just so many options they could go in every single week. I think they're going to attack the adjust the secondary. We know they can get plenty of pressure up front on the quarterback. I don't necessarily feel great that this will be their pick, but I'll take Elijah Molden here, safety out of Washington.
Okay. Yeah,
I like that. We've seen Tampa Bay just like the last couple of years just keep addressing the secondary no matter what. And now we saw these players take a huge step last year. Carlton Davis was really good. Sean Murphy Bunting, sorry, D-Bro, he was really good in the playoffs. And
he
then
caught interceptions. He also got burnt. Don't come at me with that, okay? Don't come at me with that.
But anyway, like, they've clearly been perfectly fine just saying, okay, we're going to keep adding and adding to the secondary when we're going to be facing these elite quarterbacks in the playoffs and things like that, just to have more playmakers in the secondary. So I do like that pick.
Yeah, I like that pick a whole lot because I think it's secondary. I think whether they get another corner or they – I think it's corner or safety or trade back. That's kind of where I lean for Tampa. But look, they're one of the teams that I think is a massive wild card, especially at the end of the first round. So that is our first round mock draft, our mock draft 3.0. Florio, thank you so much for stopping by, dude. This was an absolute blast for all the Bills hate and all kinds of talk throughout this entire episode. This was absolutely awesome, man. Again, tell the good people out there what you got working on right now and where they can find you at.
Yeah, real quick, thank you guys for having me. I hope I didn't embarrass myself too much, because you guys, you do heavy lifting when it comes to the NFL draft, and I've listened to a lot of the prospect episodes that you guys have done to just learn from you guys. So I hope I didn't embarrass myself too much trying to draft with you guys. And people can follow me on Twitter at Michael F. Florio. That's the best spot to follow me. You get all my work in one place, but some stuff with the NFL and then also with Rotoballer and on SiriusXM. So again, just follow me on Twitter and you kind of get it all in one place.
I mean, the fact that you did not take a running back with that last pick for Tampa, totally just, we disregard this entire mock draft, but I appreciate your effort there, my friend. All right, everyone, Adam and I are going to be back discussing Chuba Hubbard on the next episode. More of these mock drafts, more of these draft prospect profiles are in the queue. Let's go. We are 1 week away from the NFL draft. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.